Hi, I'm Susan Moore, Community Engagement Manager with IIBA.
And I'm Scott Bennett, Manager of Business Analysis with the International Institute of Business Analysis.
And this is Business Analysis Live.
Today we're going to be talking about working with developers or software engineers.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot of folks in our audience today who work with developers and software engineers and folks that are more technical. And Scott, I wonder if they have experienced some challenges with any of those folks. What do you think?
Absolutely. I have a software development background, was years and years ago. And working with this group has a different way of communicating. So we've got a great guest today who's joined us. Please welcome Tam. Welcome, Tam.
Hi, everybody. Nice to see you.
Hello,
nice to see you,
Tamara.
Why don't we have you All introduce right. yourself to the audience?
Well, I am Tamara Koppel, but since most people know someone with my first name, I usually just go by Tam because that makes it super easy to remember how to pronounce. I am a product owner at Children International. Before that, I was a senior business analyst for them. I am a former vice president or former president of IIBA Kansas City. I'm currently the regional director for the IIBA America Southeast region. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. So,
and that's just Wednesday's list of job titles.
That's just Wednesday's.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, and also thank you so much for just your contributions over the years to IIBA. I mean, you are really, I think you actually have been a volunteer of the year, by the way. That was back in 2022. So yeah, so get involved with IIBA. There's tons of ways, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. It was an honor.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about working with developers because it can be challenging. Business analysis professionals, you know, we focus on making sure that we are doing our very best work. And sometimes when we are working closely with developers, well, we can maybe feel like we're not doing our best work. So let's talk about some of those challenges, some of the things that we might do.
Yeah, before we do that, why don't we just give people a little bit of context if you're not familiar with business analysis. As business analysis professionals, there is a lot of work in technology. Sometimes there isn't. So today we're talking about working with software developers or software engineers in the technology space to give you a little bit of insight into what it's like working with these people. So Tamara, we were talking a little bit earlier about working with developers, and you suggested be prepared to do your homework. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. This was some of the very earliest advice that I got in my career all the way back in the early 2000s as a baby BA. I had a really great mentor at that time. And the first thing he said is, Tamara, the developers have work to do. So don't bring us an issue if you haven't tried to research it yourself. And it was a bit of an experiment in tier one tech support. It was because at that time I was doing both technical support and I was doing business analysis, but the skills are transferable. As a business analyst, our job is to uncover what the true business needs are. What problems are they trying to solve? And sometimes in the process of solving those problems, we introduce other problems and then we have to do production support on our own work, right? So the very first piece of advice I got was show your work. Show what you've done to try and gather information to solve the problem yourself. Give us context for what's happening. What environment is it happening in? Is it happening in dev or is it happening in production, for example? And that way we get farther faster. Additionally, that makes the best use of a software engineer's time because they have a lot on their plate too. They're responsible for building all the tools that we business analysts are bringing to them to build on behalf of the business. So the more prepared we can help them be and the more context we can provide to either an issue or to a business requirement, the better off we are, the faster we can get to that solution.
Yeah, I like that because I found too that sometimes when you're doing this research, you might be approaching it from one angle, you do a bit of research and it might take you in a different angle. So I like that idea of being prepared and doing your homework. So you're coming with really pertinent questions versus, hey, let's discover something together. And as you said, not a good use of their time.
Yeah. When I find that I'm having an issue, and this came up yesterday, we had an issue with something in our production environment. And I had a case where I had a particular set of characteristics and they were wrong. So my first question is, okay, how many more instances of this characteristic are there in production? That tells me how big this issue might be. Is this one account, one person who's affected, or is this thousands? And that makes a difference as to time criticality too. If it's depending on how intense that is, we may be able to say, okay, we're going to come back to this in, if you work in Agile, we may come back to this in the next sprint versus drop what you're doing and fight this fire right now.
Right.
Yeah. As you guys are talking about this, I'm thinking about some of the things that business analysis professionals working with developers can be doing. What are the techniques or skills they can be doing? For sure, root cause analysis. Particularly if you are identifying issues, using some root cause analysis to do that work on your own. Granted, you may not know exactly which piece of code needs to change, but if you can bring the information, what did you see? Where did you see it? What was it doing? What are some data? And I know previously when you and I have talked, you know, you talked about, you know, if learning some querying skills, whatever your database might be, so that when you identify that you have a problem, you can identify just how big of a problem it is. So that might also be some skills, because knowing how many of those things are happening, to your point, can not only identify the priority, but it can also help the developer to understand the urgency of that. And I think that is very much something that a business analysis professional would want to help the developer with, so they know how to reshuffle their work because of what's been discovered. Yeah. And that's always appreciated by developers.
And that goes back to, I am a huge advocate for the SQL querying language, SQL. If your technology stack uses that or uses a tool where you can somehow query, and it might be Oracle or it might be some other form of it, but if you can learn that particular querying language, one of the things that I tend to do, because troubleshooting is part of my role as well, I may start with a basic outline of a case that I need to investigate. And then I get the results of that, and that causes me to ask another question. Well, wait a minute, what if I change this variable? How does that affect this situation? Well, what if these accounts only pay with, random example, what if these accounts only pay with American Express? Does it make a difference if they pay with American Express versus Visa? And how does that affect it? The problem with that is that if I don't know how to do that myself, I end up killing my software engineers with death by a thousand cuts, because they'll present me, I may ask them to do a basic query for me and they'll present me with a report of results. And then I'm like, oh, well, could you rerun this for me with this characteristic? Or could you rerun this for me and change this about it? Or could you add this column to it so that I can see the date that this came through? And by that time, you're coming back to them every 5 minutes. That's just a waste of everybody's time. So if, as a business analysis professional, you can be just enough of a technologist to do that kind of stuff yourself, then you can tweak it to your heart's content and then come up with something that is a really robust representation of whatever it is you're trying to research. And that saves the software engineers for the really sticky problems where you have to go back to them and say, I don't know where this is happening or why this is happening, but this is the outcome of it. And this is what it looks like when it's wrong. So help, you know, help me figure out where we get this right.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I think that's great to give people that advice in terms of what to bring to them. We also talked about another step, but before I get to that, I just want to remind our viewers, we are live. So we're taking your questions, put them in the chat, and we will take your questions a little further in the discussion here. Tamara, you were also talking about provide business context. So tell our viewers why business context is important when you're talking to software engineers.
One of the most important things that we as business analysis professionals can do is help our software engineers who are at the very, very back end of whatever company that we are working for, right, farthest away from the customers, to be able to see and understand what is happening. And I'm going to use an example from my own organization. I work for a humanitarian nonprofit called Children International. And we work with children in underserved areas all over the world. Now, we've recently developed some technology and our staff have access to laptops. So our initial thinking in developing a new tool that I'm calling DigiCore, our thought process was staff can take their laptops with them out to the field and use their laptops to input information. There's a problem with that. Many of the areas that they go into don't have cell phone coverage. So there's no internet connectivity. Oh. So they can't use a browser-based tool. That's business context. That's a constraint. That's a term we're very familiar with as analysis professionals. That's a constraint that we have to work within. Furthermore, some of the areas that we work in are not safe. And carrying around a big old laptop makes you a target for crime of any kind. Okay. So we have to come up with tools that help our field staff do their jobs without reliable access to the internet and maybe only their cell phones, because their cell phones can be hidden. Their cell phones can be, you know, can be tucked away. So the software developer's never going to know that if we don't help them understand these are the conditions that your end users are working under. So that was a big revelation to me in working with this particular humanitarian organization, because as someone who lives in the United States with civic stability, most of the time, civic stability and reliable internet and fast internet, I don't know the depth and breadth of problems that other countries have with infrastructure. So that business context matters.
Yeah, yeah. Great illustration of that. And I think that goes hand in hand with the next topic we were talking about is know your audience. So again, around communication.
Yeah. And business analysis professionals learn very early, you have to craft your message for your audience, whether that's the C-suite, whether that's a subject matter expert, or whether that's your developers. And every development team that I have worked with wants things done a little bit differently. I've worked now in about three different agile contexts, and every time they want requirements or user stories, they want them a little bit differently. A high functioning team may not need a ton of detail. They may just need a conversation to be able to understand that business context, what we're trying to get to. So when I write a user story for that team, it may have some basic outlines, and then they just want to be able to continuously ask me questions to get to the end product. Another team that might be lower functioning, or might, for example, if you're working with offshore developers on a 12-hour time difference, you might need to be extremely explicit about what you need them to do. And you might go to a greater level of detail, going so far as to list, I'm going to use specific tables in the database, specific fields in those tables, how this relates to that in those, so that they have every little bit of instruction that they need to be self-sufficient for the next 12 hours until they log off for the night and you come back the next morning. So it's important when you are working, no matter where you are in your relationship, it never hurts to go back to your development team and say, is what I am providing to you the right level of detail? Do you need more? Do you need less? How can I be writing this better so that it helps you do your job? And that level of collaboration and humility and saying, how can I do this better for you, helps to gain that, helps to build that that relationship of mutual trust and respect.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's also important to understand too, and as so anyone who's been doing business analysis for a while will understand this, but people that are new, it's important not to tell developers, software engineers what to do. It's more of, this is the problem you're looking to solve, because we can unknowingly be instructing them to build something that makes them do gymnastics versus saying, here's the problem I'm looking to solve. How would you best solve it? And they're the experts in that area and they would solve it. So for those of you that are new to the field, just a bit of caution there.
I'll add to that.
Go ahead, Susan.
Well, you know, this is the fun of being live, right? Sometimes we we all have thoughts at the same time. I'll add to that, because I think sometimes as a business analysis professional, right, I go out of my way to whether it's through courses or reading or whatever, I want to write the best possible requirements, the best possible information for the development team. But really the key to success is not going out and doing what some consultant says is the best way to write user stories or requirements. Really your key to success is making sure that you tailor what you are producing for your team. Give your team what they want and what they need. And I'm telling you, it's like nirvana, right? It is truly the sweet spot of a high functioning team. So keep that in mind. Now, Tamara, what was that thought you had?
One of the tools that my team works with is Power Platform. And that's a Microsoft product that is advertised to be low code, meaning you should be able to be a high-functioning, non-technical person and be able to develop a baseline application on your own. The tool that we developed, we've had to constantly go back and revisit, and my team is constantly reminding me, Tamara, this is a capability of Power Platform. What you're asking us to do is an enterprise-level custom application. So yes, we can, everything can be done and we can accomplish this, but you're exceeding what Power Platform was designed to be able to do. Now, what's the right path forward? That depends, but it falls into the category of what I call knowing your tech stack and knowing the capabilities of the tools that you are working with and what their limitations are, and then having that constant conversation with your software team to say, am I asking for something that is really, you know, really going to stretch this or stretch you or in a way that jeopardizes our capability? Because if so, I want to go back to the business and I want to continue refining whatever this is to come up with something that works within our capabilities. And if we truly need to go beyond that, well, okay, but now we'll have the business case for that. Now we'll have built out all of the logic and reasoning for our future selves. Why did we go this route?
I want to, on that note, I want to take a question really quickly because it is specifically about this issue. So I'm going to share this. This is from Violetta. What do you do if developers are unwilling to accept your help and say that you don't need to delve into technical matters, like you might a little bit, right, if you understand your technology? However, such an attitude can lead to numerous misunderstandings. Now, what would you say about working with the developer who says, I don't need for you to worry about what the tool can do. You just go write down some things and I'll take care of the rest.
I'm going to ask, What kind of a relationship has been built against that developer to begin with? And this goes back to the earlier conversation about what do they need from me? Do they need me to give them tables and fields and join relationships, or do they need me to tell them, this is the thing that we're trying to accomplish, and here's what it looks like when we are successful, and here's what it looks like if something else happens. For example, if I try to do a guest checkout on a website, and it tells me I cannot take your American Express card, that's bad. We need it to be able to accept American Express cards. So if the developers are telling you explicitly stay out of it, there's two things that come to my mind. The first one is they're being territorial. And the second one is there's a trust relationship that needs to be developed there. So a really good place to start is give them exactly what they ask for and develop that relationship. And then show some humility and say, I'm always wanting to learn. So help me understand how you solve this problem so that I can think about it in a better way in the future. That just takes time and practice. So there's no magic bullet. And I have worked with developers that no matter what technique I tried, we just never quite got on the same wavelength. Unfortunately, that happens. But using those same kill them with kindness kinds of techniques is always a really good baseline to head for. That was a great question.
Yeah. Thank you, Violetta.
Yeah. And let's unpack that a little bit. I like what you were talking about relationships. And, you know, we work with people all day long, whether it's understanding what business needs are, understanding customers, working with developers. Let's talk a little bit about relationships and how important that is for the productivity of the team. As you illustrated there, if you've got someone that's really resistant to working with you, that is a challenge and will become more of a challenge over time. But if you can build a relationship where you understand what their hobbies are, their family, their friends, you can have these casual conversations, it can soften rough edges, really help people in terms of communicating more freely. What's your experience been like with that, Dan?
I worked with someone once who had a lot of personal stuff going on at home that I had no idea about. But this was someone that I could just never quite get on the same wavelength with. And it was only secondhand that I heard about these other issues with this person. And I thought, wait a second, my developers are people too, who have the same kinds of bad days that I have. They have three kids they need to get to the bus stop. I need to exercise the same kind of compassion and grace that I would hope that people would give to me as a human individual. That's just basic human connection. But when it comes to the relationship with a developer, I did have a different person. Had a person that no matter how I asked the questions, it felt like they just could not understand what I was trying to tell them or to ask them about. So I said, okay, we're clearly not connecting here. Help me understand what you need so that I can provide that to you. And what part of this are you not understanding? Because I really want to be able to provide you with a good experience. I'm here to help you. You're not here to serve me, right? So it's really about taking that attitude of humility and saying, how can I change what I'm doing in a way that makes it easier for them to work with me? What do they need? And there's no way to get that information unless you flat out ask them and say, what can I be doing differently? And that's why 360 degree evaluations, 360 degree feedback cycles are so important. Asking your peers, your software developers, your superiors, your clients, what can I be doing differently that would make our mutual working relationship better?
And I think that ties in well to a question from YouTube. Mary asks, how do you handle resistant developers who do not see not recognize the BA value, so the business analysis value? So it sounds like you've answered part of it there. But it could be a little territorial.
but you know, it's fact. There are developers out there who don't recognize the BA value. So usually there's a reason for that. They're not just being egotistical, right? They're not just being territorial. They've probably had some kind of a traumatic experience with an incompetent professional in the past. And so there's trauma there that has made them, that they are bringing into, and there's baggage that they are bringing into this current relationship. If you can sit down and have that conversation with them and say, hey, why do you feel like this? And don't even bother trying to convince them otherwise. This is not a, let's have a discussion and come, you know, we're going to have a persuasive argument here. No, just ask and listen actively. Maybe there is nothing that you can do about that. But maybe if they say, well, this other person behaved in this way, okay, you know what their triggers are now. And you as an analysis professional can try not to step on those same landmines that this developer experienced with a previous coworker, right?
Yeah.
So that's where I would go with that conversation.
Yeah, we sometimes say on here that business analysis is a relationship business. And I think you've just given a perfect example of what we mean by that, right? So again, we think as business analysis professionals about the tools and techniques, but really the things that will make you successful is knowing how to work with people and frankly, sometimes difficult people. Get a reputation for knowing how to work with difficult people and in difficult situations, and you've got a golden ticket to the top. But yep, it is really important. And I think you mentioned another thing that's really important, right? We've got to ask. Like, don't assume things. If the team is not happy with what you are producing, ask them what they need and then be ready to listen and incorporate that into what you're doing. Like, relationship building can start locally with your team, and you building those relationship building skills when you take those out into your organization, it just makes you so much more successful, right? Mm-hmm. Than thinking you've got to, this is what I know, this is what I do, and I'm not going to change that. That's not a recipe for success.
Right.
All right.
An attitude of humility goes such a long way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I am taking a peek at our comments today, and there is a whole bunch of people that are like, yes. I'm just going to share a couple of the yes, couldn't agree more. It also means working as partners, right? Instead of customers. So you're working as partners with your developers rather than just their customers. Tim is very active in our conversation today, but this is the first thing he said. This is his everyday world. And I bet for a number of folks that are listening in, this is also who they are working with on a day to day. So let's see. All right. Well, if we are ready, I'm going to go over and officially start taking some questions because we've got a ton of them.
Wow.
Let's see. So this first one, it's from Tim. He goes over the requirements with the developers at a time of definition of ready, blah, blah, blah. Do we all understand the requirements? So I guess what he's saying here is when he starts to go over the requirements, he's asking, do we all understand the requirements and why? Oh, that's interesting. Why we are doing
it. Why is this important? Mm-hmm. Why does this matter? And I think that's really important. And I'm going to even go into the product owner space here for those of us who work in an agile environment and say, if you can connect the why we are doing this user story or this particular project and how that fits into the immediate team's goals over the next, say, 12 months, and how that fits into the strategic goals of the organization over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. Connect those dots, because the bigger the organization you work in, the harder it is to make that connection between the work that you do on a day-to-day basis and what your organization is trying to accomplish. I work for a small to mid-sized organization that has like 150 to 250 people. And so it's pretty easy for me to make that connection between what I'm doing and what my CEO is doing. That's much harder the bigger the organization that you work for.
Yeah, good point.
Let's see. All right. Woo. Again, these questions are coming in fast and furious here. Let's see. Let's go to this next one. It's a little bit long. So we were talking about tailoring requirements, so understanding how to produce those requirements for your audience. And then we talked about high-functioning teams not needing as much detail. So how do you handle UAT where a requirement hasn't been met and then you don't have the detail that was captured?
Okay, that depends on the context. If you're in a waterfall environment, it is pretty important to try and get all of your details up front and build out your test cases against those requirements that you've gathered. I've been working in an agile context for quite a while now, and for me, that's part of a conversation. They talk about in an agile user story, the three big components are the card and the card, the confirmation, and the conversation. I don't have them in the right order, but you start with a user story. That user story has acceptance criteria. This is what it needs to do so that I can accomplish what that user story is talking about. The acceptance criteria then feeds into your use cases. And if you did not get everything done in that particular user story, you iterate. You bring another user story into the next sprint that continues the work and does this. And that accomplishes two things. Number one, you missed a requirement. Everybody learns. And you close out that user story and you move on. You create another user story that improves on the work that you did before. That's iterating. That's what Agile is for.
Yeah.
So
that's
harder to do in a waterfall.
Yeah, a great explanation, because you're dealing with small pieces, moving them forward frequently. The impact on a waterfall project, if you miss something, can be significant. But when you're working on small iterations, you can be nimble, if you will.
And we are human beings. Something's going to get missed sometime.
Yeah, that's right. And I pulled this comment back up because the last part of that sentence actually struck me, and not having the detailed capture anywhere to evidence what was needed. And so my thought on that is, if your team needs a lot of detail to produce their thing, then you should be producing that level of detail. But if your team says, nope, either we're all co-located, we can get what we need, or we've got just enough and we understand how to deliver it, that is it. Then that's what's needed. So there's as much detail as the team needs. So Anand, that was a great question. Thank you. We've got one from Florence. As a non-developer working with developers, I sometimes feel like I would have been better also having their skill set. What's your take on this?
Oh my goodness. So I moonlight as a leadership member in Kansas City Women in Technology. That their mission is to, they are a nonprofit whose mission is to grow the number of women developers in the industry. With that said, that organization offers so many opportunities for people to dip their toe in the water of development. HTML, CSS, basic JavaScript, basic Python, basic SQL queries. You can take any class through Pluralsight, Udemy, LinkedIn Learning, pick your platform, and start to begin to understand. You are not required, and as someone mentioned earlier, some developers don't want you to be that level of detail. You are not required, nor are you supposed to know how the guts of the system works. All you need to know as a business analyst professional is just enough to be able to have an intelligent conversation, to understand what the capabilities are of your platform. And there are so many opportunities where you can just dip your toe in that. The way you figure out what technology you need to learn is by going to your developers and saying, if I wanted to just get a functioning understanding of how, you know, what are the major pieces of technology that we need to work through? What are the, what's the big lingo that you use? Then where would I start? And your developers, this is building that trust relationship, is that it can tell you, we are using Microsoft tools, we're using C, or we are using a Unix background and a Unix system, we're developing on Python, right? Okay, you've got words, go look those up. Take a basic class in Python, right? Or something like that. And then go back to them and say, no, 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 I don't want to do your job. I don't need to do your job. I'm not trying to take your job. I just want to be able to converse with you intelligently. That's that attitude of humility and trust building and relationship building, to learn just enough for you to have a better relationship with them. That is such a great question. Thank you, Florence,
yeah,
for asking that.
Yeah, that is a great question. You know what? Sometimes you'll find that there will be a developer on a team who has a real knack for coaching folks. And sometimes if you align yourself with that person and just have conversations about, you know, the technology and all that, it can broaden your understanding of what it is that you're doing. And I think anything you can do to make yourself a better communicator to the developers is well worth the time. And I just want to say that very early in my career, I met one of those developers, and it really changed the course of my career, because it really helped me to understand technology broadly, not just the mainframe stack that we were on. But anyway, it all counts.
And I also want to share too, formal education is also doing this. So my son's studying graphic design, and in this semester, he's studying web design as part of the core program. And they're not trying to make them web developers, but what the instructors are saying is, we're teaching you this base skill set. So when you work on web projects as a graphic designer, you've got the context. So there's an example of formal education following a similar process.
Continuous learning. I've been a business analyst professional since 2002, and my whole career has been continuous learning. Last year, I got a baseline Microsoft certification because that's the tech stack that we work on. This year, if I'm capable of putting that much time into my schedule, it's going to be a Dynamics baseline certification, because that's the CRM tool that we're using. Just enough tech. Just enough. Keep training yourself. It's not just in the soft skills or the business analysis techniques. It's also the technical skills. Just enough to have an intelligent conversation with someone.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, so one last question here, and I think Tamara, you're going to like this one too, because it flips our whole conversation on its head. So it's interesting. There's a feeling that BA should know more about basic technology, but not that developers should know more about business analysis. I think the partnerships work best when both sides understand each other. So what do you think about maybe asking our developers to understand a little more about business analysis?
Oh, that's a great point. And it goes back to explaining the business context. Different developers will have different degrees of interest in the business context. Work with that and feed them as much as they want. And if they want to be involved in the conversations, invite them. I do invite my developers to all of my refinement sessions as optional participants. And it made it very clear to them, it's possible I'm going to miss something. I'm a human being. If you have time and would find interest in this topic, please do come, because I would value your input to see if I've missed anything. And then you've put it on them. You've offered them the opportunity. You're not threatened by them coming into your refinement sessions. You're building that trust relationship. And they have the option.
Some will take you up on that. Because there really are some who really want to understand the business for which they are developing systems. So I think that's a great suggestion. All right. Well, we have there's tons more questions, but I think we are almost out of time today. Tamara, this has been such a great conversation. Boy, there are just lots of people who are who are needing these tips today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Tam. Yes. And we do on YouTube have the capability for people to put in comments. So if you want to continue the conversation, put some comments in and people can continue sharing their thoughts on that. Again, thank you, Tam. It's been a wonderful conversation. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. All right. And in 2 weeks, we are going to switch gears and we're going to be talking about AI. It's kind of a hot topic. And for this topic on AI and business analysis, we have invited Vince Mirabelli. So you will not want to miss this. We're going to be back here 2 weeks. We'll see you then. This is the end of our live session, but if you've got questions, you can send us an email at live@iiba.org or leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question at one of our upcoming broadcasts. Join us.